God is good.
Which reminds me of our theme that we're still on. God is good.
All the time.
Brilliant. You've caught hold of it. And we're going to continue to look at a verse in Psalm 23 today. I'm going to try and put something up on the screen which will sort of give us some skeleton on it. And hopefully this will bless you today. We're still talking about living in the goodness of God, because God is good all the time. And the thing, if you haven't picked up about it, about Psalm 23, is it's packed full of things about God's goodness. And in some cases, surprising things that you wouldn't expect. And today I want to talk about the times when maybe you're feeling worn down, or maybe when you feel your life is in a battle. One of the amazing things is God is there with us too. Right? So we're going to read Psalm 23, verse 5, and I'll put that up on the screen. Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a banquet for me in the presence of my enemies. And I sort of tried to think, well, what sort of picture should I put up on the screen there, you know? My guess is that's a bit reminiscent of Christmas for some of us. For some it won't be, I know that. But there is a sense of Christmas. And most families have been heading to that sense of being around the banqueting table, being around the meal together. Not that the meal is the be-all and end-all, but somehow or other, being around that meal together and sharing together makes a big difference. I'm not sure we'd have had the half, the pig that's there, but we would certainly enjoy a lot of the goodies which are on the screen. You prepare a banquet for me, it says in Psalm 23, in front or in the presence of my enemies. Life can sometimes wear us down, can't it? And I was thinking of the picture of David and Goliath in the valley, and all Israel is there, scared stiff about this giant in the valley. And as David comes to stand up for his nation, he's been brave and he said, no, I go out in the name of the Lord of hosts, which I think most of us do as we go out into our days. I go out in the name of Jesus. But as he was heading into that valley right there, I wonder what he felt. He just got some stones, he just got his sling. He stood in faith, and there he was, heading towards this giant. But I want to imagine then, you see what's actually going on in the spiritual realm. Because one of the things that is difficult for us is we only see what's in the physical realm around us. But actually what's going on there in the spiritual realm around him as he heads into that valley to fight Goliath is that the Lord of hosts is with him. And he says that, doesn't he? He says, you rail against God, but beware, the Lord of hosts is with me. And sometimes I think when we head into the battles of our lives, whether it be respiratory problems, whether it be other illnesses, whether it just be relationships, whether it be our work or whatever, we can be full of all that sense of, oh, can I do this? But remembering what we've already talked about, that God is good all the time. As you're right, Frank. And as we've looked at this psalm, one of the things that we've talked about is the fact that God is not just with us on the hilltops, but he's always with us as well in the valleys. But here's another situation where God is with us, which is not, if you like, the expected place. He's not only with us in the valleys, but he's also with us in the battles. Isn't that amazing? And I love that picture of Israel when they went into the promised land. God didn't just say, don't worry, I'm going to give you victory after victory after victory. He said, I am with you, to Joshua. He said, be strong and of great courage, for I am with you. And the amazing thing is that as we look at this psalm, we realize God is not only with us in the green pastures. God's not only with us when the skies are blue. He's with us in the times of real trouble. Not just in the valleys of the shadow of death, but also in the real struggles as well when we're facing enemies. And this metaphor about God laying out a banquet for them, you prepare a banquet in front of my enemies, It's a tremendous rich picture, and I don't know whether you realise that this picture language in this psalm has far more to it than perhaps we in our Western culture understand. And to understand it, we need to ask four questions, and the questions are this. Firstly, what kind of banquet is this? Secondly, who are our enemies? Thirdly, what does this banquet symbolise? And fourthly, what's on the menu? So firstly, I'm just going to talk about what kind of banquet this is. The banquet that God provides for me. And the first thing about this banquet is we don't host it. God is the host. And as David was walking down into the valley, as he's facing Goliath, something is going on in the spiritual realm about him. God is preparing a banquet for David as he goes down into that valley. Secondly, this banquet, it's not just that God is the host, but it's also well planned. And I love that verse in Jeremiah 29, which goes, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." What we sometimes think is that that's sort of like almost a last minute planning on God's part. But actually, scripture tells us he knew us before we were even born in our mother's womb. He knew how we would respond to his word. And what we need to understand is that God has been quietly planning throughout our lives all of those places where he's going to bless us, and where there's going to be a banquet waiting for us as we face not only the good times, but also the real difficult times. This banquet was well planned. This banquet also was not just, as some versions call it, a table. You know, that's a table. It's not terribly sturdy, is it? It doesn't mean a lot, that table. But this table that is talked about here is not a cheap folding table, not a formica dinette. It's a shulchan. And what that stands for is it's the king's table. And if we were to, if you like, flesh that right out, what it actually means is this is the place where God brings the most ornate, the most full, the most lavish table he could possibly manage into that situation. It's amazing, really, when we're talking about a battle, isn't it? You would expect God to bring his armies. You would expect God to bring his sword and his right arm. But what he's talking about in this battle is he brings the most full table to bless us. And if you like, I would call it, it's a battle banquet. And I don't know whether you've got that in your language, but I'd love you to catch hold of it. That God wants you to have a battle banquet whenever you are facing enemies in your life. And we'll look at that a bit more in detail. The other thing about this banquet is that you, me, we're the guest of honour. This banquet isn't set out so that we can be the servant at the table. This banquet isn't set out so we can be someone, if you like, who just is in the background and everyone else gets all the limelight. This is a banquet where we are the guest of honour. A bit like this communion table as we meet today. Yes, it's for all of us together, but actually this table is here because God is saying to us personally, I want you to come and receive from me. This banquet, I am the guest of honour. Isn't that amazing? And the other thing about this banquet is it's in public, it's not in secret. There's something of a God wanting to show something through his banquet for us. So if you imagine as David is walking down into the valley to meet Goliath, suddenly, if you imagine out of nowhere, Goliath we think is about, was he about 9 foot tall, something like that. But imagine if at that moment the King of Kings steps in, who's 20 feet tall. Imagine the picture on the battlefield. The giant is dwarfed by the giant. And as the king comes, he spreads out a banqueting table. And with such confidence in his arms and his eyes and his heart, he says, come to David, and says, come and sit and eat. Goliath would have just been astounded. He wouldn't have been able to do anything. He would have been just in awe of God standing there with David. Who else comes to a battlefield with a banquet? God is the one who does. It's a banquet fit for a battlefield. Secondly, this picture, the question we need to ask is, what are the enemies on this? Well, we know in David's case it was easy. It was Goliath who was around him. Well, if you read your Bibles, and I hope you do regularly, the battle that the enemies that are around us, God's word tells us, is that the world around us is first and foremost our enemy. And it's very easy in our world around us, because we're called to love one another, to think that actually our world around us is kind, and it's something that we should live with, and it's something that we should work with. Do you know what Jesus said? He said this. He said, sorry, what John said in 1 John, he said this: do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he does and what he has, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The world around us, even though we're called to love the people of the world around us, we're not called to love the world around us, because it is our enemy. Scripture tells us that because the world worships something other than God, it has a different agenda to those who worship God. So the first of our enemies we need to understand is the influence of the world around us and how it seeks to drag us down and destroy us. The second enemy that we have is Satan, who is against us. And if you know anything about Satan, you know that he was originally an angel in heaven. He decided he wanted the adoration that was due to God to be given to him. And because of that, because of his pride and his arrogance, and because of that wrong picture of himself against God, he was thrown out of heaven and along with all his followers. And because he was rejected by God, he now seeks to destroy everything that God loves. And the thing that God loves more than anything else in this universe is you and me. And so we are the prime targets of Satan in our world. Satan is against me. The world around me, even though it doesn't realize it, is also against me, because it worships not the things of God, but the things of mankind. And the third enemy that we have is our old nature, who is inside us. And if I'm sure you're as human as I am, you understand what I mean. Our old nature is something that doesn't go away. It gets changed, thank God, by his Holy Spirit. But it still seeks to trip us up all the time, doesn't it? And so when we're in a battle, when we're facing the struggle with the world around us, when we're facing what Satan has sent against us, and when we're dealing with the old nature that is inside us, it is a battle that, I think it was the Apostle Paul said, wretched that I am. You know, I try and do what's good and I do bad. I try not to do what's bad and I do it anyway. Those sort of battles rage in each one of us all of the time. And God just wants you to know today that he's with you in that battle. He's not the God of distant, God who doesn't have any interest in us. He is the God who chooses, knowing that that battle is going on in us, he chooses to host a banquet specially for that moment, so that we can stand and be strong. We need to understand that God wants and welcomes fellowship with us. That's one of the key things about this battle, this banquet, this battle banquet, that Jesus wants us to know a strength in every one of those battles that we have. I love this verse from Job 36. I don't know whether you've ever come across it. It's on my notes somewhere. Here we go. Job 36:16. God is gently calling you from the jaws of distress to an open place of freedom where he has set your table full of the best food. Isn't that a lovely picture? Right there in the heart and the heat of the battle, God is at work trying to give you freedom and to set a table before you of the very best food. We have an amazing God. The question then is, okay, well, God spread this table, but what else does God want to do? Well, God wants to bless me to show the world his goodness. And this is something that sometimes I think the humility that God teaches us somehow or other can clash. We don't realize that actually God wants to show this world. He doesn't want to just show us his goodness, but he also wants to show our world his goodness. And that was why I was saying that when we meet non-Christians and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us, one of the things he wants to do in that moment is to let people know that actually God is at work through people like you and me, ordinary people. I love this in Psalm 31. It says this: your goodness is so great. You have stored up great blessings for those who honor you. You have done so much for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. And we might not realize it, but we are trophies of God's grace. You and I, what God has done in us, God is painting not only a picture for us, not only a picture for eternity, but he's also painting a picture for our world around us about what God can do with ordinary people like you and me. And in the place of that battle, that's what was happening. Even though it wasn't seen tangibly in David's position, as he was going to battle with Goliath, God was doing something in that moment to equip him with all he needed to deal with that battle and get the victory in Jesus' name. And I believe that the picking up of the stones from the brook was part of God's inspiration. I believe the years of training with the sling was part of God's preparation. I believe the heart that was in David was part of God's preparation. And as he went into that battle at that moment, he went with that sense of an equipping that God had given. So, here we are, a battle banquet. We're ready. We know that when every battle situation, God is providing for us. What's on the menu of God's banquet that he's throwing in your honor? How great is the Lord? He is pleased with the success of his servants. One of the things that you need to understand is God's menu is designed at that moment to give you the success that will see the victory, just as he gave David as he went to battle Goliath. What's on the menu? Well, the first thing that's on his menu is something that you and I carry with us, hopefully, all our lives. And that is the Word of God. And you're going to say, I knew you were going to say that. That's just simple, isn't it? The Word of God. Do you know what's in this Word of God? Let me just give you a brief taste. There are 5,500 promises in this Word of God. There are 54 warnings. There are 95 blessings. And there are 92 considers. And that's just for starters. God's Word is packed full of the richest of fare. And when we go into battle, we see Jesus going into battle. Our key ingredient for our battle is God's Word. Because you see, in each and every situation, there is a promise. 5,500 promises, guess what? That's more than one for every day of the year, isn't it? I would guess in our lives, maybe we would only go through 5,500 battles. There's one for each and every situation. And I can say from testimony that the battles I've faced, those scriptures have been essential to me. I don't know about you, but those items on the menu, God says they are a banquet. And if you don't know about his word, what he says to me, all through scripture, he talks about how his word is like food for our souls. And I love this verse in Psalm 119, where it talks about it being like honey. The promise of your word tastes sweet to me. They taste sweeter than honey in my mouth. There's terrible spelling on that. I'm sorry about that. As we come to the King's table, one of the things that's on that table, one of the key things on that table, is his word. And Psalm 34 verse 8 says this. It says, learn to savour how good the Lord is. There's another verse that says, taste and see, God is good. The banquet that God sets out in our lives is based on the word of God and what he puts into our lives. And I always remember that years ago someone said to me, if you make no other New Year's resolution, make this, that every day you will feed on God's word. Because the truth is, wherever you have one of these, you can have a banquet. It's full of fruit, bread, milk, meats, drinks and sweets. You can feast wherever you have a Bible. So why would we ever eat rubbish? And the question at the beginning of the year, I believe God would ask each one of us, is how much time each day are we spending in God's word? Are you fasting or are you feasting? Are you starving or are you serving because you've had your fill? This Bible is where you get your strength for battle. And if you're like Gwyn, get yourself a modern translation so that it touches your heart and you're not struggling with the words. Learn to savour how good the Lord is. Listen to this. The Christmas story, which we're bringing to a close in, probably we won't go back until next December on it. I won't be here, but you'll go back on it, I'm sure. Did you see the faith in people's hearts over that Christmas period? As the angels came to them and spoke to them, as the angels came and prompted them, the response in their heart was this, that they would believe. And the angel, as he spoke to the, I think it was to the shepherds on the hillside, made this statement, which I just love. For the word from God, actually that should say never. For the word from God will never fail. That was the angels, what they said that first Christmas. The word from God will never fail. When we go into our battle, if we've taken from the table that God has set out for us, we will have weapons that will never, ever fail us. Listen to this. Hebrews 6:18. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. A rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. No wonder that when we go into a battle, if we have God's words ringing in our ears, we will not only be strong, but we will also have the greatest weapons our world could ever see. Psalm 31 says this, your goodness is so great. You have stored up great blessings for those who honour you. You have done so much for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. People of God, I believe that this year is going to be a special year. There are things in your heart you can't explain. My dad used to call it, he said, I just got a knowing in my knower. And I believe this is going to be a very, very special year for every one of us. But you know, it starts with the promises. It comes with the belief And it comes with the remembering that God's word will never fail. And I believe at this beginning of this year, we need to be in that place as people where we come and stand on the promises of God. It may be when we're sick, we've just got to say, God, I believe you're going to see me through this. It may be when we're facing a giant that we have to say, God, I believe you're standing here alongside me and you are bigger than the biggest boogeyman, as one of the songs says. God is bigger. God is greater. I was watching a program to do with Lidl and Aldi. I don't know whether you saw it before Christmas, about how they made inroads into the UK supermarket. And I was fascinated to see that apparently the breakthrough from Lidl and Aldi into the UK market was not price, was not location, but was rather their ability to provide just what was needed for the Christmas meal. The trimmings, the things that we appreciate at Christmas. And it seems that once they got that right, people started buying there regularly. People, I believe, when we get the banquet right, and when we draw on it in the place of even the deepest of battles, we will find the victories come regularly and frequently, because we will have got the one thing right that needs to be there in our lives, the provisions that God has given us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you spread out a banquet before us, the promises of your word. Lord, we just thank you today that we have in our hands, through your word, the greatest resource we can ever imagine. Help us, yes, to be courageous like David going into that battlefield. But more than that, Lord, would you equip us to take your word with us? Would you prompt us to learn it? Would you prompt us to recall it? Lord, would you prompt us to speak it against the biggest giants in our lives? God is bigger than any giant. And you go against God at your peril. Lord, go with us and bless us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.